Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyane Satanine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Govaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Do we have an elephant here? That was elephant. Hati sound, isn't it? Elephant sound. Was it a mobile telephone? Yeah. Or Ramananda Gopal? Oh. Yeah, no, no. This can be used for preaching. You know, it really sounded very, very impressive. And it reminded me of something which is just so nice. Since you are Pujari, I want to tell this. When we were in South India, Kumbh Bihari, we saw how in the morning one player, a Veena player, wanted to wake up Ranganath. Very nice Veena playing. But Ranganath seemed to be very much asleep. So they brought the elephant. You were there? You saw the elephant was making the elephant sound to wake Ranganath. I thought he was also a little sleepy. It was not so loud as your mobile telephone, but see now that our children are satisfied with Mother Teresa. Good. I want to welcome all of you. Some of you are new in this little, I would say, lecture series. We want to discuss, both in the morning and the evening class, about some principles of good community building which were applied or which were in place during Gauranga Mahaprabhu's time. So we have discovered a few things in the previous seminars, and today, or just this morning, we could understand how we sometimes make mistakes when we judge a devotee by external ways, how he is externally acting. We don't know all this, what is in his heart, and therefore we must be careful to not really act on what we perceive externally, but we must really ask the question, what is about the heartbeat of the devotee? What does he want? What is And by this principle, we very quickly will discover bhakti. I would like to speak a little bit on this principle before I go into the kata of today. Today we often hear about conflict resolution, you know, when two Vaishnavas or two groups of Vaishnavas have different opinions, how to help them to have a harmonious relationship. And there's one thing which Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur applied. When there were two Vaishnavas in his ashram who had difficulties with each other, he had a wonderful process intact. And I have suggested this to the ISKCON conflict resolution. They were very happy with this method. He called both of the devotees together and then he asked them, each one separately from the other, to find something good in the other person and express it. So let us say there was person A who had a conflict with person B. Then both of them were brought together and were asked to say something positive about the other. But it had to be something which they really saw, not just some illusory words. So the conversation looked a little bit like this: person A and person B, and there was like an atmosphere like the Second World War between them in the beginning. Then person A said, had to say something good about her, person B, and he said, I really can see that you eat prasada. Person B. The atmosphere was still quite tense. And I appreciate that at least you sleep in an ashram and not on a train station or somewhere. That was not allowed. That was already offensive, you know, to say. I'm happy that you sleep in the ashram. So then person A was like a box match, you know, one ping, the other ping. But good things. And person A then found something else. Maybe that the person knew one Bhagavad Gita shloka. In this way, they were just ping-pong back appreciations. At the end, the atmosphere was no longer like Second World War between them, but it was full of appreciation. Then, when that ice or that wall was broken, so to say, it was easy for them to see deeper things, appreciate bigger things. And in the light of these bigger things, the immediate causes for the conflict looked small in comparison. Maybe person B had spread a rumor about person A. Person A felt hurt that person B had done this. Maybe person A had broken into the Maha place where the Maha was kept, stolen the whole Maha plate offering. Maybe there were these things which were giving rise for conflict. But in comparison to the bigger picture, what happened in the smaller picture seemed to be not so bad. And, you know, I would like to recommend to all of you this method. If you may not even need to sit down with a person where you find something bad. You might just when you see the person, you might try to think. Let me think of the good things the person does. Like maybe he goes and distributes books, or maybe he likes to play harmonium and sing in the kirtan, or anything like this. And try to add this up, and then you might see that what disturbed you so much, like that he was snoring in the night next to you and you really wanted to rest, and you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning you were running down to the kitchen to look for a good knife to end this drama, you know. Hare Krishna. But now, where you see, he also sings kirtan with this loud voice, and you see some good points, you might no longer be in the spirit or really be so disturbed. Now, I think I know for me, this helped me very much, because I'm somehow, because I'm so active in the life, and my horoscope says like this, there will always be people who dislike you, that's in the horoscope, and who will spread rumors about you. It's for no reason, but it's, you have to just tolerate it. And I learned this when I understood this, to just immediately see in the other person the good things, the nice things, therefore have remained quite peaceful. It has helped me a lot in my daily life.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Kavichanda Maharaj. No, you are always... how can you be late? No. Hare Krishna, welcome, Kavichanda Maharaj. Go, Premanandi. Hari, Hari, go.
Maharaji, Maharaji. Vishnu understand what this meant to be son. Last year, so I
Hare Krishna.
Don't want to be Roma Hashana Sutta. Thank you. So now, having said this, I wanted to add this to this last lecture which we had heard. And this might help you in your own spiritual life to change the atmosphere into an atmosphere of appreciation with the devotees, and then it's much, much easier to do all these other things which we learn about. Okay, so after having said this, we will go into our Leela Katha. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yeah, no difference.
It was a great shock for the devotees. After they had heard that Mahaprabhu had left Navadvip and gone to Katwa to take sannyas, all the devotees in Navadvip decided to commit suicide. It was early in the morning, it was very cold, and they said, we will all go into the Ganga and drown ourselves. And no one, not even Advaita Acharya, should stop us. So when Advaita Acharya heard that everyone was going to commit to drown themselves, he declared in a loud voice like a lion, "I will not stop you. I will go with you, and together we will drown ourselves in good company. Now where Gauranga Mahaprabhu has left, my life is empty." So they all were on their way down to the Ganga, but by Krishna's intervention something happened. There was a voice from the sky which said, "Don't drown yourself. See me in Shantipur." So they all went to Shantipur and saw Lord Chaitanya, stayed with him for about a week or so. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Nilachal. When he took sannyas, Gadadhar Pandit was with him. And when he went to Nilachal, means Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit also was with him. I think you remember there was this incident where Gadadhar had saved Gauranga Mahaprabhu, so to say. And from that day on, they were inseparable companions. So both during the sannyas lila of the Lord and his travels to Puri, he was there. Now one fine day, something special happened, and it's noteworthy for our consideration. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went with Gadadhar and they went on top of a big sand dune which was about 20 meters or so above ground level, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu sat down with Gadadhar in front of him and he asked Gadadhar, "Would you do a favor for me?" Gadadhar said, "Anything, my lord. Just ask it and it's already done." "This is something very difficult, Gadadhar. I need your promise." "I promise you. Gadadhar, I will give you the lot of my heart. But you must promise to never leave Puri, to always worship this Lord." Gadadhar said, "If it is your desire, I will do this. But who is the Lord of your heart? Where is he?" And then Mahaprabhu started to make like this in the sand. I don't know how to describe his movement. And he dug his hand into the sand. And from the sand tomb, he pulled out a deity which is so beautiful that we must show this deity to you. It was Tota Gopinath whom the Lord pulled out of the sand tomb, and he asked Gadadhar to constantly worship this Lord of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's time. Please turn around. And here you see Sri Tota Gopinath. It's a beautiful deity of Krishna. Gopinath means the Lord of the Gopis. Also the Lord of Radharani, the topmost Gopi, of course. And he holds a flute in his hand. He's very ancient. And this is very difficult to see, but you can assume he sits in a cross-legged sitting thing. We have heard that when Gauranga Mahaprabhu pulled him out of the sandal, he stood. But when Gadadhar became old and a little bit bent over, the deity was too big for Gadadhar to put the garland around him. And then the deity sat down in a cross-legged position. That is what we have heard. Others have said he was always like this because he is Gopinath who sits with the gopis on the yoga pit, that is the center of Vrindavan, in a lotus, and he sits there in a cross-legged position. These two informations are available, but no matter which one it is, look at his beauty. Isn't he very, very beautiful? Every day, Hare Krishna can see more, or this is the only. This is the only. By the way, it's absolutely forbidden to make a photo of him. The pujaris will destroy your photo camera for the rest of its life in this incarnation of a photo camera. So this is actually a criminal photo, and I hope no one spreads bad rumors about me. But I needed to show you so that you can believe what you are hearing today, because we will move into a very interesting space. The reason why pujaris don't allow photos to be taken is not any cruel reason. They just feel so much for their deity. And they know the picture of the Lord is identical with the Lord. The form of the Lord is identical with him. So they can't guarantee that everyone who has a photo will act respectfully towards the Lord. Therefore, they can't bear that disrespect is shown to the photo. That's why they don't do it either. Now, we have other things for you to see. We will take this now. Have you all based your eyes on the beauty of Tota Gopina? Isn't he beautiful? A very ancient, very ancient. So, after this instruction, Gadadhar Pandit took the vow of Kshetra Sannyas. That means he can never leave the holy dharma. And it is here where our Leela today will be about. The time came when Mahaprabhu wanted to leave Puri and go to Vrindavan. First, the devotees, led by Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, said, "My Lord, if you leave your devotees in Puri to go to Vrindavan, they might all die from the pangs of separation." Mahaprabhu made it clear he wanted to go alone. There was a reason for this, which I will tell you a little later. So, if you leave alone and leave us here, we will die. Don't go now. So then Mahaprabhu waited a year. The second year he said, "I want to go to Vrindavan." The devotee said, "No, no, no, please don't leave. Kill us all." Then the third year came. Mahaprabhu said, "I really want to go to Vrindavan. Why do you keep me away from Vrindavan? What type of associates are you who are keeping me away like a fish who is kept away from the ocean?" Then Ramananda Roy said, "Don't go now, but next year you can go when it is a good time, when it's not so hot." So finally, on the fourth year after Mahaprabhu wanted to go, it was end of Chaturmasya, Mahaprabhu again showed maximum determination to go to Vrindavan and finally obtained the permission of his loving devotees to leave just after Vijayadashami. I believe Vijayadashami, and I would appreciate if I'm corrected here, if I'm wrong, isn't that when Lord Ramachandra was victorious over Lanka and Ravana? Do you? Yes? That is called Vijay Dashami, when he has slain Ravana. That is a little bit, before October. It's when it's cool. Vijay Dashami. There's a big festival, you know, nowadays when effigy, big form of Ravana is built, and then they shoot these Indian, knalla, what is it, explosives on that form and burn it, and it's a wonderful thing. There's someone dressed as Lord Rama, and he shoots the arrow, and then, when it hits, and they do throw all the knalla, and he burns to pieces, and everyone dances in an ecstasy. And that is Vijay Dashami. So just after that celebration, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And he left over Puri. There's one town where the devotees, where some devotees had followed him, and they couldn't go after this town. And Mahaprabhu, the devotee said, leave something of you. And Mahaprabhu gave his chada. And this chada can be seen once in a year. They open the box and they show you the chada which Mahaprabhu gave. And the devotee said, leave something of you. Just don't leave us without anything from you. And this is how attached they were, and how loving the relationship was. And how, you must know one thing about the Lord. He will never break the bondage of love. You know, when Krishna had delivered the two demigods, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, who had been cursed to stand there for so many years as trees, he had, the leader, he had broken the trees, and the demigods had come out of it. They had circumambulated him and said, please allow us to go there. And he had said, yes, your karmic curse is over now. So after this, he was there. He still had a rope around his belly, which Mother Yashoda had put there to bind him at the mortar with which he had broken the trees. And I'm thinking, strange, I deliver everyone from bondage, even these two demigods I have delivered, but I myself remain bound. Then he thought, and I want to be bound. I never break the bond of love of my devotees. It would be against my nature. My nature is, I want to be bound by the love of my devotees. I deliver the whole world, but I remain bound by my devotees. Nice, no? How the Lord thinks. So, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also didn't want to leave Puri without obtaining permission. He tried for 4 years, then he was given permission, and then King Prataparudra officially helped to smooth his journey. He arranged for all the boats to take the Lord over the rivers. And he also, listen to this, installed Gopinath deities wherever the Lord went. There's even now, if you go to Dandabanga, a place, another pastime took place just opposite to this. This is a temple of Gopinath, which was built by Prataparudra at the place where Lord Chaitanya had taken his bath. Great devotee. So, anyways, now we will talk about Gadadha. When Gadadha heard that the Lord would leave Puri, he was told. And he followed the Lord in a respectful distance. After some time, the Lord stopped and said, Gadadhar, come here. I'm leaving Puri, and it seems you also want to leave Puri. Who says, said Gadadhar, you are walking with me. You have made a vow, and you have personally promised me that you would always worship the Lord of my heart, Gopinath. You cannot come with me to Vrindavan. Stay in Puri. So when Gadadhar heard this, he was very temperamental. He thought, to hell with my vow to remain in Puri. As far as I am concerned, Jagannath Puri is wherever you are. But he didn't want to say it. He just thought it. Mahaprabhu said, see, if you give up your duties to worship Gopinath, everyone will think it is my fault, and they will start to talk bad about me. And Gadadhar spoke out loud, no, I will take all the responsibility for any offense committed to Gopinath. It's my responsibility, not yours. And anyway, said Gadadhar, you know, they were walking. Gadadhar would give up walking. Anyways, I'm going alone. I'm not going with you. I'm going to Bengal to see Sachimata. You have nothing to do with my going. So Mahaprabhu said, no. What can I say to Gadadhar? He's just so determined to go. Impossible, my Gadadhar. So Mahaprabhu continued on his way north to catch the path to Jarikanda. There is a path which everyone went in the old times to go to Vrindavan from Orissa. It goes through the jungle of Jarikanda. Gaurahari and myself once lived in that jungle. We saw snakes, we saw dinosaurs, you know, something like small dinosaurs, only this big, but they looked like dinosaurs. It was a dangerous jungle, and in the old times there were tigers and wild elephants. Now, in this jungle live criminals. We live next to a village of criminals, but we did kirtan and they liked us. You know, we did Harinam, but that is a well-known criminal village, and no problems. You have to dress in bad clothes, and no one thinks you have rupees, and it's all right. Anyways, when Mahaprabhu and his party arrived at Katak, which is 100 kilometers north of Puri, Mahaprabhu called Gadadhar one last time. He really didn't want Gadadhar to break his vow of Chaitasamyas. He said, you have by now realized your objective. It seems to me you wanted to break your vows by coming with me and leaving your service. But now I will ask you a question. If you come with me, that will make you happy. But I asked you, Gadadhar, what happiness do you want? Do you want your own happiness or do you want my happiness? I will be unhappy if you give up the service to Gopinath and go with me to Vrindavan. What happiness do you want? And when the Lord gave this argument, you know, he had argued, if you give up your Chetra Sannyasi, that will look bad. You know, you have made this vow, how can you give up this vow, and so on. All the arguments were fruitless, but when he said this argument, it's only for your happiness that you go, I will be unhappy. Gadadhar looked at him and he touched his head and he fell down on the ground. Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhaumacharya, take care of my Ganadhara. And without looking back, he went into a boat, crossed the river, never looked back. Great personalities can be soft like a rose, but hard like a thunderbolt also, when it's necessary. Now I want to ask you an esoteric question. Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not allow Gandhara Pandit, who's in his spiritual, you know, in his, how do you say, in his branch, Vrindavaneshwar, Rishimati Radharani, why did he not take him along with him? And there is a particular reason. Mahaprabhu wanted to visit Vrindavan totally in the mood in which he had appeared, that is to relish and understand the feelings of Srimati Radhika. But if Gadadhar Pandit, who was Radha and who looked at him like Radha looks on Krishna, you know, as a worshipper, would have been with him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mode of being Radha would not have been possible. Do you understand this? It would have disturb the mood, you know. And he would not be able to fulfill the whole meaning of his incarnation. Do you understand this? Andre? No? Yeah. Sometimes we have high subjects and the new people just hear it, maybe one day it will come in the heart. But the older devotees, I have to also sometimes speak to those who in Krishna consciousness. Gadadhara saw him as Krishna, but he didn't want to come as Krishna to Vrindavan. He wanted to come as a servant of Krishna, therefore couldn't take him along. So Gadadhara in this way was forced to leave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I find it very important to see what argument made him ultimately stay back. The argument was, is this for your pleasure? How you act, or is it for my pleasure? My dear devotees, in a devotee community, this question can serve 90%, can solve 90% of your conflicts. When you are in conflict, you have to see, do I want to act for my pleasure or do I want to act for Krishna's pleasure? If you ask this one question, you will always know the right path out of your own situation. See, conflicts are always ego conflicts. They come because of the ego. To get out of the ego, you just have to ask yourself the question, what would please Krishna in this situation? What would please my spiritual master in this situation? And then you can solve all the conflicts. I had a very, very big conflict in my beginning of my devotional life. Should I take a bath or not each morning was my conflict. I was used to taking a bath once a week in hot water in a bathing tub. I would lie there in the bathing tub, would put some soap inside and some good fragrance, and then I would read Asterix and Obelix for half an hour, jump out of the bathing tub and feel fresh and clean. So when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was introduced to the method of taking a bath each morning. And because we were poor, we only had cold showers. And I made intense plans how to avoid the cold showers. I pretended to be sick. That always works in a devotee community, because that's the only thing which is respected. There's no reason to not attend. So I did that. Then one devotee said, why don't you take a shower for Prabhupada's pleasure, for Krishna's pleasure? And that got me. And from that day on, always I didn't miss one shower, because I think it's for Krishna's pleasure. This will help you to solve your conflicts, you know. I gave you a humorous example. If you want, I can give you an example which makes you flush and become red, but I don't want to do this any longer. Just ask yourself the question, what pleases Krishna most? And then decide what you want to do. And this is what Gadadhara Pandit taught us through his wonderful example of dedicated service. He fainted, and when he woke up, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was no longer there. He was on the boat already, going towards Vrindavan on the boat. Gadadhara Pandit turned around and sadly left to come back to Puri. And he did his service, and he never left Puri. He even didn't go to Vrindavan. Never did he go to Vrindavan. Imagine, not one time did he hear the Shastras of the visit of Mahaprabhu, of Gadadhara Pandit in Vrindavan. So, but there was a scar in his heart. Already, he is, after after Krishna entered the heart of Radharani and took that love which Radha has for Krishna and stole that from the heart, what is left of Radha, that's Gadadhara. And it is described that the esoteric goal of Gaudiya, of those who are in a very high and spiritual practice, it's a little bit high for many of us, I know it, I will just mention it very briefly for the older devotees amongst us, who are, is to bring Gadadhara and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu together, just like it is the goal of the Vaishnavas who have an understanding of the higher rasas, to bring Radharani to meet Krishna. They think, oh, Radha is so qualified, she should meet with Krishna. As Prabhupada once explained in London, Radha will say, I'm not so qualified, the other devotees are more qualified than me. Please, Krishna, accept this devotee. This is the feeling of the high, high, high bhakti, that I am not so qualified. But if there is someone qualified, he should meet Krishna. This is also a mood amongst us devotees. I am not qualified, but there are so many qualified Vaishnavas who serve Krishna. Let me support these Vaishnavas. A materialistic devotee will think, I'm envious on these devotees who do better than me. But a real devotee will think, good that these devotees are there. I'm so unqualified. Let these devotees, let them serve. Therefore, in kirtan, leading kirtan, there's an etiquette. No kirtan singer should just sing on his own. Other Vaishnavas should go to this kirtan singer and say, you please sing. You are most qualified. You please sing for the pleasure of Krishna. And this Vaishnava etiquette is very sweet. It is based on the principle, what will bring most pleasure to Krishna. Just like Gadadhara Pandit in this Puri episode teaches us. At the end of Gadadhara Pandit, what I've prepared on Gadadhara Pandit, I want to read to you the Aarti song which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written about Gadadhara Pandit. He says, when I look at the wonderful Aartik, where my lords Gaura and Gadadhara are worshipped, I enter into the mood of their existence previous to appearing in Nadia. I think of their Vrindavan Leela as Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. It is simply indescribable. But then he describes it. Underneath a desire tree, on a jeweled throne, the ever youthful couple named Kishore Kishori are surrounded by all their gopi friends. Sri Radhika and Lord Govindaji are decorated with many shining jewels and pearls, inlaid with gold artwork. The meeting of the two has generated a luster that brightens all the worlds and may be compared to a garland of lightning. What this means is Radharani looks like very golden colored, and Krishna looks very blue, dark blue colored. And when they are together, they look like a black monsoon cloud illuminated by a flash, a lightning. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this very wonderful scene of the Aartik of Gaura Gadadhara. He sits in Navadvip, in other words, he performs the beautiful arati to the lordships Gaura Gadadhara, and while he does this, the picture changes for him. And he sees on the same throne where Gaura Gadadhara were, Radha and Krishna. And he describes that they look like a monsoon cloud with a gardening of the garland of lightning. This is something about the glories of Gadadhara Pandit. It is a very confidential subject matter, but I think even from this very confidential discussion, we have gained something of great value for our level. That is a question. Is this for the pleasure of me, or is it for the pleasure of Krishna? Please ask yourself this question regularly. And when you ask yourself this question, you will see how your life will change totally. It's a simple question. Tell it to your friends. Tell it to the wind. Is this for the question of me, or is it for the question of me? Gadadhara Pandit is the greatest servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is there in all the leelas, and he is everywhere performing his very confidential service. He just wants to stay with the Lord in a feeling of deep, deep eagerness. Gadadha Pandit ki jai, Shiparadna Shingadeva ki jai, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Now, this was the first part. We will have for about 10 more minutes. I want to show you today something which I felt was so wonderful. There's a very nice devotee in our movement. Most of you know them. The older devotee know him as the leader of 108. 108 was a very heavy straight edge band who toured a lot here in Germany. It's really loud. I mean, really. You have to close one ear and put some cotton swab in the other ear. It's so loud. But he's a very, very nice devotee and preacher. And he made a movie. He's an artist also, Raj Kishore, which is an illustration to one very nice episode from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a when I think you have heard a little when you when we heard about Gadadha Pandit, that Krishna consciousness really is about love of God, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would express this love in the mood of separation. Where are you, Krishna? He wouldn't express it in the mood of meeting Krishna. So this "Where are you, Krishna?" is this theme has been explained by him in the Anjalila chapter 14, text 43 to verse 51. It's he says, "My mind is like a beggar who constantly begs for Krishna's presence." And I want to show you this movie. It's very artful. It's not loud. It's very soft. And please turn yourself now to the screen. And maybe those who know how to put the light out, put it out. It was done by Braj Kishore, a very nice devotee. Can we make it louder? Is it?
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Gaura Hari. After this we'll play melody, something which fits for this.
Maybe it's a mystical life.
Yeah, I think that is, yes. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Hare Hare,
Question I would like to not send you to bed. I mean, you are grown up people and you will decide when you go, but I request you to take this question with you. Just imagine Gadadhar Pandit, for him Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association is dearer than life. He was with him in his childhood in Navadvip. He went and Gauranga Mahaprabhu took sannyas to Katwa and tolerated it or survived it, how the barber cut the locks of the Lord, and now he was a renunciant Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit went all the way to Puri. He was constantly with him, but at the end, when Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, and Gadadhar Pandit wanted to go like anything to Vrindavan, and the Mahaprabhu said, "Gadadhar, would you like to please me? Then please stay." And Gadadhar said, "All right." After Mahaprabhu left the planet, Gadadhara wanted to also leave. He felt in his heart, my life is now over here. He had seen with his own eyes how Gauranga Mahaprabhu had ended his pastime. You know, according to some, he went to take his last darshan before Lord Jagannath and then entered into the body of Lord Jagannath in the Sri Mandir, the big Puri temple. And from there, you know, the news spread like wildfire. The devotees did a kirtan before Tota Gopinath, and all of a sudden they saw the same Gauranga Mahaprabhu dancing in their kirtan. Mahaprabhu danced so much that one of his scarf fell from his chest on the floor, and then dancing he went to the altar of Tota Gopinath and he disappeared in the body of the deity a second time. So after Gadadhara Pandit had seen this, he built a samadhi for the cloth of the Uttariya, which was the last thing Gauranga Mahaprabhu had left. He didn't leave a body, he just went into the deity and disappeared like this. So he gave samadhi to the cloth of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That means how attached he was. He wanted to leave, but Mahaprabhu had told him, stay, you have one thing more to do in my service. You have to teach my great devotee Srinivas Acharya the Bhagavata. So Gadadhara remained on this earth for 11 more months after Mahaprabhu's disappearance. His only purpose to maintain his life was to wait and see Srinivas Acharya and then empower him. There is a verse in the Bhakti Ratnaka which describes to us how Gadadhara Pandit felt. He was repeating the name of Gaurasundara with his eyes closed. Go, Ranga. This is all he said. Sometimes he was saying, ha, ha, ha. And anyone who came close to his mouth could see that the air which came out of his mouth when he was sighing, was as hot as flames. You could take straw and was coming into flames. No one but the Lord can know how much Gadadhara Pandit suffered in the absence of Gauranga. His motionless body, he didn't move any longer, remained alive only so that he could bestow his mercy on Srinivas Acharya. You know, that great Acharya. He disappeared in Puri on a dark moon day of Jeshta. That's 1535 Anno Domini. It's the same day on which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur disappeared. Same day. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the great devotee of Gaur Gadadhara and of Gaur. So, same day. Dark moon, not full moon. Because that's what Gadadhara felt. He felt empty, desperately in need of the love for Krishna. The love which Lord Krishna had personally come to relish as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. this hence this kata, but I want to again remind you, don't forget your question. Ask it maybe like this: what can you do at this stage of your life to give pleasure to Krishna? This is a good question. Maybe when you go to this with this question to bed, Gokula, you will get some extraordinary, wonderful answers by the mercy of Kadata. Not just Gokula, everyone. Okay, I wish you a wonderful good night and good opportunities to practice what you have learned the next few days. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.